Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of The Close Season, Episode 5. This is That Millwall Podcast. Okay, I'm joined by my regular co-host and partner of crime, the one and only lucky bastard who's going to England tomorrow, Omar.
We're going. Come on, England. Come on, England. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. There you go. Oh, Southgate, you're the one. You still turn me on. Football's coming home again. Okay, there you go.
I'm not getting ahead of myself.
Oh, what was that?
Sorry, mate. That was a voice message I just received. It just turned on. Sorry about that.
I'm getting ahead of myself. There you go. That's quite appropriate, that one, wasn't it? But anyway.
I was like that. Whoa, here we go. Who was that? I'm thinking, oh, we've been hijacked.
Introduce our guest, I guess, at this point.
Right, without further ado, and you got a bit pissed off there for waiting. It's the rudest I've ever seen. It's the one and only football guru. It is Kai. Good evening, afternoon, morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. Looking forward to talking all things Millwall.
Do you know what? I was thinking again, I'm really interested in talking everything. Looking forward to talking all the bullshit. But yeah, no, all the bollocks. But no, he didn't. He's too polite for that anyway, Omar. Way too polite. I think we found anyone more polite than you. I think that will be the challenge for the season. Can we find a more polite caller than you? We have got a voice message. You all right?
Yeah, sorry, mate. You know what? It's my phone. It keeps going up. That's what I mean. It's my iPhone. You know, I told you my messages were playing out, Mickey. That's what it is. I don't know. It keeps making a noise when things come through.
It's called boy error, mate.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna turn it off now.
45 minutes is all we need you for, mate. All right.
Sorry about that, mate. Really sorry about that, guys.
That's it. So, I suppose the one and only big story. We record on a Monday night. The big story was broke tonight from Jake Sanders at News at Den is the comments from Jed Wallace. So I think we will go. Let's just read his comments out. What they've picked on or what it's, Gary said.
Yeah, what Gary said.
It's a hard one because you can't always find a perfect solution. You can't always control every situation. Jed is really committed. He doesn't want to leave the club, and regardless of the situation, he will do everything he can to get us to where we want to be. Hopefully, we find an agreement, but you can't always predict how these scenarios are going to go. I'm not thinking about it, to be honest. It's quite difficult for me to give you an answer. He's been offered a good deal, but he knows if he waits, he might get a much, much better deal from somewhere else, and he might only get that opportunity once. He is 27 years old. He does want somewhere, obviously, to finish his career with a last chance grasp, possibly. But I do think it's a very dangerous move from Rowett unless there is a bit of friction between him and Jed. Omar.
You missed the punchline. The paragraph just before it's a hard one where he's asked if number of seven is any close to extending his stay at Den. Rowett said to those at Den, the honest answer is no, not really. We couldn't quite come to an agreement. That's the punchline. Jed was offered an improved contract and we will continue to talk. Mate, that's worst case scenario, isn't it? It's classic Millwall. We're all excited to come back for the new season. Hopefully we can all go. Everyone gets a ticket and we can rock up week in, week out. And Wallace, we've spoke about it for the last four shows in our close season specials and we're up to the fifth one now. And if this news didn't break, we still would have said, has Wallace signed that contract yet? We've only 12 months left on his deal. And this is what's come out this evening. To be honest with you, I expected exactly something along these lines. I'm not surprised. My immediate reaction to it, which I put onto Twitter as well, it was quite simple, really. I think it's not necessarily about the money for Jed's. I mean, whilst we should offer him a deal that reflects him to be our best player, at championship level, so a fair wage. If Rarick's saying it's good money, you've got to take his word for that. It's got to be decent money. Maybe Wallace wants more, maybe he's trying for more. But for me, the crux of it where it falls down, I don't think Millwall is showing enough ambition to convince Jed to sign a long-term contract and stay with us. Maybe he's not a player that will push for a move. He might honour his contract and then go next summer on a free. I understand what Rarick's saying there later down. But I think the crux of it is, mate, we're not offering something to convince him to sign for 4 years or 5 years. I don't know how long the deal would be, but at 27 years old, you'd sure it'd be at least a 3 or 4 year deal for our best player. And to me, I think we're not proving by signing players, showing ambition, we're not doing that at the moment to convince him to stay.
Kai?
I absolutely agree with Omar. I think the ambition, you know, isn't shown. I think if we can bring in some quality players on his level and on his wavelength, I think, you know, he'll see that ambition and want to stay. I think, you know, so there's some players that we're being linked with. I mean, obviously, Josh Windass is a good player, but there's, you know, we need to be linked with, you know, better quality, I think. And, you know, Windass would be a good signing. And if he did come, maybe that would entice Jed to stay, maybe. But, you know, he needs to, he's 27 now?
27. Take the negative from the comment, right? Where, sorry to cut in there, but where Rarick's turned around and said, you know, he could be waiting for a better deal, he's implying that he can get a sign-on fee and a bit of money elsewhere. But I think what he's basically saying there is, you know, he's also going to find a better club scenario. He might end up going to a top six championship side that's guaranteed to be fighting at the top. You know, West Brom will take a chance on him, but Bournemouth will take a chance on him. You see Villa, the year they went up, they signed 3 or 4 players at a championship know-how, and Jed falls into that category. He scored 10 goals in the last 2 seasons each, I think 11 maybe in the one just gone. You know, he's a goal scorer at this level. He creates chances. He's a talisman at championship level. And he's not necessarily maybe a player that might then go and play for him in the Premier League, but he's worth that investment to then get promoted to the promised land of the Premier League. And we know how much the Premier League is worth. So I think, you know, a lot of people might turn around to me with my comments and say, well, what ambition can Millwall show? We've got the third smallest budget in the league. What can we show? I just think signing players, showing an intent to go out there and grab some talent and show that we're going to go in a positive direction. I think that's what we need to convince him. We need to show that we're going to play good football. We're going to play attacking on the front foot. And we're going to make the den a fortress. But I'll be honest with you, as the team stands right now, we're going to be for more in the same of what we've got next season. Where's the signings? Where's the players?
I think you're right. I think you've got to look at it. He's been an absolute hero for us, really. And he's been solid for us. I mean, he's had, 35 goals and 221 appearances since joining from Wolves on loan in January 2016. And then permanent after the League One playoff final 18 months later. Just think he's got to the age where he's, you know, this is the last push he's got. If he wants to get to the promised land, this is it. You know, he can either stay with Millwall. Has he looked and seen who potentially we're signing and think, I don't think we're going to do it. And I need, you know, and look elsewhere. Or is it that he wants to sign, but the agents are going, hold back for a little bit, just see if we get another offer. And, you know, there isn't loads of money about at the minute. All these clubs have been in banging trouble in the Championship. There's not going to be loads. Yeah, a club that comes down, maybe someone like Fulham or one of the other clubs that have come down, maybe, or one of the ones that have just gone up, possibly. I think he's definitely capable of a good Championship side. Or a lower end Premiership side, possibly. But you know, if he's got a chance, this is it. This is the only chance he's got.
I could be made to look really silly and have egg on my head in 3 weeks' time when he leaves and he goes to Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough ain't that scenario, but look at George Savile, for example. George Savile took a sideways step, went to Middlesbrough, and let's be honest, George Savile's career has stayed exactly the same place where it was, if not a bit worse than when he was at Millwall. You know, that valuation of £7 million, if Middlesbrough sold him today, they wouldn't get £7 million for him. So his career has definitely gone sideways for me. I might look stupid and he might go for the money somewhere else. But I think with Wallace's experience of playing for Portsmouth, then going to Wolves, getting that big chance to play in the Championship at a reputable club that was going places with new owners, Portuguese players all over the place, he didn't really fit the mould, didn't kick it off there at Wolves and came to Millwall for 2 loan spells and then came on a permanent. I think he really places a lot of value into our club. You look at him, how he talks about Portsmouth. He looks at us in a similar way. You know, he is, I think, a real fan of this club since playing for us for the last 4 or 5 years. I think he just wants some ambition. Like I said, I could look really stupid, but you look at Wallace and how he plays for this club. I think he wants a side that's going to compete at the highest level. And I feel like if we don't show him that, I, for one, don't begrudge him at all. Either A, running his contract down and staying for another year because he can't get a deal, or B, going for a cheap this summer. I can't begrudge it. I really can't. I think it's facts. He's a player that's committed to the club and gives his all every game. And he's our best player.
I understand that completely. Do you think possibly that he might even be contemplating going back to Portsmouth? Because they've made some big signings this season so far. And I mean, they're obviously on a mission. I know I wouldn't class Portsmouth bigger than us at all. But, you know, they've obviously got a plan where they want to obviously stay here and go for it. And he has got affiliation to him.
He's very ambitious.
He can get the money there, though.
I think he's a player that wants to play at a high level. To me, anyway, my impression is he's an ambitious player. I think he spoke in, like, you know, in the January time of the season just gone by, saying about, you know, how the tough times, you know, it's testing at Millwall, but, you know, he's happy to get through it. But I think even he wants to see that Millwall side kick on. And I think that's all we've got to offer him. And, okay, it goes back to the answer. Maybe, Kai, you can help me with this one, Kai, but what can we do to convince him to stay apart from, like I say, sign players? But I don't know. What can we do to convince a player of Wallace to sign on a contract? I don't know.
I think you've probably summed it up perfectly there, mate. I think we have to show a bit more ambition in the transfer market. I think you know, we have to show a reason of why we can go forward and try and show some direction within the club. I know, you know, we've said many times before that we want to go to the Premiership. And I just wonder whether, you know, does he still believe we can get there, whether he can still get there with us, or do you think he thinks maybe going to another club might get him there quicker? I don't know. But he's 27 now, and, you know, next year he'll be out of contract, 28. I think he needs to probably think, you know, maybe clubs don't, you know, with a year left of his contract, a 27-year-old, it's the perfect time for clubs to come and get him, isn't it?
This is his last long-term contract, isn't it, I suppose? If he signs a four-year deal, this will be his last long-term contract of his career. So you're right. Like, you don't begrudge him with that, I suppose. But I'd be gutted if he goes. If he went, I think, what's the best-case scenario if he does go in that instance? Do we cash in now? We have to, right? And reinvest in the squads? What would you do? Well,
is the money there, though? That's the problem.
Well, no, but if we got £5 million for him, you'd have to reinvest all of that in the squad. Yeah, and if he doesn't want to sign the contract, you've got to give him an ultimatum. Maybe we've got to be a bit street savvy here and offer him a contract that says, if we don't finish in the top 9 or top 8 next season and don't show signs of progression, we will accept X amount of money from any club that comes in for you. Or we turn around and go, you can get a release clause, or, you know, if we don't reach the ambition. But I think we've got to do something to convince him to sign the contract, because losing him now, we'll lose him for probably half of what we could sell him for. And the same goes to if we lose him next season, we'll lose him for absolutely nothing, which would be the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think if we lose him for nothing, then I think it's a bit of bad business for Millwall. We've got to look at that risk, haven't we, and go, right, you don't want to sign for us. We're going to start fucking taking offers on you and see what's what. And take whatever they want. But I agree. I think the least we could take for him is close to £5 million. If we sell him for two, then someone's had a fucking steal. Kai?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I don't know. You know, that we've had this debate, actually, didn't we, on the live shows with people. We were saying, how much do you reckon he's worth? And some people reckoned 5 to 8. Some people reckoned more. Some people reckoned less. And, you know, obviously, let him, if he was to go for on free next year, like Lee Gregory did, was it 2 years ago now? That would be a real shame, because, you know, we could have either cashed in on him, and it would be a real shame to let one of our best player go that, you know, probably now is worth probably between 5 to 6 million, something like that, I reckon.
I just think it's a money thing. I really don't. I think it's purely we've got to show a bit of ambition. And if we sign Windass, we sign a striker that's, I don't know, £1-2 million striker. We're talking about, Rowe keeps saying this is his third of his 3-year plan to compete at the top. But the squad on paper now, albeit football's not played on paper, the old cliches go, this side doesn't get in the top 6 next season. And we need, and without Wallace last season, where would we have finished last season? I mean, you know, this is it, isn't it? It's a reality, isn't it, Kai?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Jed's so crucial for us. And even when he doesn't play well, I always think to myself, when Rowett takes him off, sometimes, you know, he takes him off with 10 minutes to go and we're either losing or drawing. I'm just thinking, just leave him on, because he's capable of that moment of magic. And I think that is what Jed is. Jed's, you know, what did he get? 11 goals and 6 assists last year or something like that. And, you know, say pretty much similar the season before last as well. So, you know, he's doing it consistently. And I think, you know, that consistent goals and assists we'll really, really miss if he does go. And if he does go, we need to replace him with someone just as good as him. But that's going to be hard to get, isn't it, for the money that we're probably going to get for him?
Oh, 100%. 100%. How much do you think he's worth then, Kai?
Right now, with a year left on his contract, if it was 3 or 4 years, I'd try and get same, probably Saville. We left Saville, but probably now you struggle to get any more than 5 million, wouldn't you?
Agree. That's best case scenario, I think, to be honest. But I do think we need to show a bit of ruthlessness here. This is where the club's got to, I don't know, either say to him, you've got till this day to sign the contract, but maybe bend a bit because he's your best player. Let's be honest. Like, and this is what I stress. He is our best player, Mickey.
Is that the problem?
Well, he's our best player.
No, is that the problem that all year, all season, Rowett and other other people have been saying, you know, Jed's our best player, Jed's our best player, Jed's our best player. You know, without him, we'd have been fucked this season. Absolutely, categorically. But has that got in his head or his agent's head and they're like, someone's going to come along? I mean, what happens if someone doesn't come along and offers him a better deal?
I don't think his head's turned. I don't think his head's turned. But the problem is he's your most valuable asset. We're talking about numbers here.
Hmm.
If you're Steve Kavanagh, if you're Gary Rowett, if you're Harvey Bustle, and the three of you are sitting there together, and you're John Berylson, who owns the club and cares about the assets at the club, why are you letting your star man worth anything north of 5 million run his contract down to even a year? That's the question. Why are you not just putting faith in him? Last summer, giving him a four-year deal last summer and extending his stay for another 4 years. Like, why are we waiting till 12 months to go? Why are we waiting till 18 months to go? Why are we even let this be a conversation in the first place? That's what I would say.
No, I agree. I think it's a bit of bad management there. I think we should have tied him up on a long-term contract and got him in at least a year ago, probably, you know, before COVID hit, maybe. And just
even forget football. Mickey, forget football for a second and imagine you're working on a contract somewhere and then you get offered the contract before it's even got half its time to run up because they're so impressed with the work you do and see a long-term future with you. You wouldn't even think twice about signing the contracts. You would, and especially if you're performing well, which we did towards the end of the season, just gone before last. Of course, like, I don't know. I think the club's to blame here, I think, personally. That's the reality of it. And I just hope that they get us out of this situation as quickly as possible.
Yeah, or even put in a, sorry, Mickey, do you want, even if put in a, like a, you know, when he did sign originally, what you know, even put in a year, an option for a year, you know, then that way you can at least trigger something and give yourself time, can't you?
That's it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the same. If you look at it in our field, Omar, in a normal working life, not football and whatnot, your boss comes to you and says, you know what, you're only on a three-year contract with us, but you're fucking superb. I'm going to offer you another 5 years or another 4 years with a pay rise, with some bonuses added onto it, you're going to snap his arm off and take it in you and go, you know what? Football's a funny game. I'm now made up until I'm 30, 31. If I get injured, it don't matter now because I'm made up. And you're just going to carry on. You don't need to worry about going, I need to look for somewhere else. You just made, didn't you?
That's the risk. Obviously, that's the risk, though, if he gets injured, right? But I'm not suggesting we give him a 7-year deal and name a statue at the Den after him or something like that. I'm suggesting, like, you've got your most valuable asset and you know he is at the championship level, scores goals at championship level, clubs are circulating around him, and it's not unknown to be like that. Villa were interested, supposedly, 18 months ago. Just reward him. Reward the player. Why wait?
No, that's it. Phil Clark's replied, we posted something earlier, you know, what's people's thoughts on the breaking news of that? And Phil's got, you know, what will we get in this market? There is little money around, and releasing him is almost impossible for a club like Millwall. Bear in mind, he could stay, have 3 or 4 months, and other offers disappear, or God forbid, he gets a really bad injury, and our offer looks much more attractive. It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there is money about. Look at, in the prime of the pandemic last summer, Ivan Toney signed for Brentford for, what, £8 or £9 million from Peterborough? And I'm not suggesting, but if Brentford was still in this division, even Brentford might even look at someone like Jed Wallace and think, he could do a job for us. He might fit into what we're after, albeit they have different hoops that you jump through to play for that club. But my point is like clubs that come down or clubs that want to really take the risk to go up will spend the money. And maybe this is back to the point of we don't show enough ambition, because don't get me wrong, I prefer us to be run in a steady manner, be secure, but just punch the shoestrings a little bit more. Let's see what else we can potentially do to convince these players to sign and stay longer.
No, I agree with you. I mean, Rimsey says the same as what we just said about, you know, if it's just a normal employer issue, you get offered better or the grass is greener on the other side, you jump ship. It's nothing personal. It's all about, you know, financially making yourself better off. Steve Selby on Twitter, again, he's just said it's a standard football contract, a standard football story. A good 27-year-old wants a big contract as he has a short career, but knows that he might have to go elsewhere, even though he likes playing at this current club. Happens all the time, which is true. It does. It does happen all the time. And again, you know, on our comments, we've got, you know, ranging from those what are saying get red and those what are saying, you know, keep hold of him, you know, leave him where he is, you know, good thing, this and that. It's very mixed. I mean, if you want to check out our Twitter account.
There's no reason, though, why we can't give a gentleman's agreement. Morrison said on Wall Talk when he was interviewed by the club on their podcast, I signed the deal in the January window and Jacket gave me assurances that I will go in the summer. But I did that because he gave me his words, and that at least that way the club got the money they deserved for me. And that's ultimately, if we're worried about, you know, Jed not signing and we think we're actually going to push next season, we just say to Jed, sign this contract, but here's a clause in there that if we don't do what we say we're going to do, if we don't sign three or four players to help us propel ourselves up the division and potentially get in the playoffs next summer, we won't begrudge you going next season. I think it's just got to be a bit of streetwise here from the club. I really do think that.
I was also just going to say that I don't know if you saw the, I think it might have been back in January now, there was an article about Jeb Wallace saying that he wanted to see Brentford go up to the Premiership. I don't know if anyone remembers that. I just wonder whether maybe that Brentford might be interested in him. I know it goes against their transfer policy of bringing young players in.
It could be a player that fits in there, though.
Yeah, definitely. I thought maybe...
He's established.
Yeah.
And he'd work well with them. If he, with their team that they've got there, he would slot in there fucking well.
Yeah.
And be interested in the Premier League. Like, it'd be interesting to see how you do in the Premier League, Jed. But
yeah, but I mean, realistically, we need a player like Saville back, because those two together bounced off each other. We need a player like Saville to sign up and then they can run with Jed, and Jed might go, you know what, I'm staying. Now we've got, you know, we can now push on. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. But look, we're 20 odd minutes into this and all we've done is spoke about Jed.
Don't go, Jed. Please don't go. Please sign that contract. Please.
We love you, Jed. Please stay. Please stay.
Should we talk about the Arsenal player?
Let's talk about Daniel Ballard. 21-year-old central defender, Arsenal. Get him on a loanee. My only concern with him coming in is that some of our players might be pushed aside. Our current players and our youth team lot might be pushed aside to just basically benefit a Premiership player. But don't know. I mean, Omar sort of has said, well, maybe it might give some of ours a bit of a loan out and get them a bit of experience. But
that's true. I think, well, in the case of Ballard, it feels a bit weird. It's a sense of deja vu for me. I'm not suggesting he's the player. I think last week there was that, is it Colville, the Chelsea youngster that signed a 4-year deal and went out on loan to a Championship club. I think it was Preston in the end. No, it might have been Swansea. I remember seeing it anyway. And supposedly that was the player that was first linked with us. But I think in Ballard's case, I remember just stumbling across a Twitter thread last week from Blackpool fans desperate for him to stay. And by chance, a few days later, we're the ones that are getting linked with him. And from what I remember reading through Fred, a lot of the fans were impressed with what they saw from him. He signed for them in January, kind of helped spearhead their promotion charge in the playoffs. They won the promotion playoffs to the Championship and obviously now promoted to the Championship. But it sounds like we've beat them to the post to get him this summer. And apparently he's having a medical at some point this week. And I think Rauta said he wants two players in before Thursday this week, which is when the players report back for pre-season. So if we need two players, one of them is going to be a youngster coming on alone, I'm for it. We're going to play five at the back. We need another defender in. I'm disappointed, yes, that Mitchell Muller might not get an opportunity to play. But at the same time, I think the pair of them will maybe get a League Two loan move somewhere or go to Bromley and mature as players. And I think they're guaranteed to play week in, week out at another club low down the pyramid a bit more. yeah, we want to see him play for us, but this Ballard on paper, at least, looks like he could be that central defender that is, plays with his feet, plays out the Arsenal way, so to speak. So it's a win-win. And he's, I think Ray also said about Evans playing in midfield next season. So I think, for me anyway, I think it's worthwhile to kind of pursue this youngster.
Coming in, football guru.
So yeah, I was just going to say, it makes sense. Obviously, disappointed about Muller and Mitchell, because I did see Mitchell play a couple of times for Bromley and I thought he looked really promising. But maybe he needs that another year. I think he's 19, isn't he? So you know, it helps with maturity and that sort of stuff. So that could be good for him. But with this Daniel Ballard, I saw a video of his highlights last year at Blackpool. Some quite impressive clearances off the line. Some, you know, good passing from out the back. And just looks all-round solid player. I think he's 6'3". It's a good height. And the only thing I do question is, where does that leave Murray Wallace? Because, you know, obviously Pierce is staying, but we all know Pierce is probably going to be more of a, you know, more of a person behind the scenes and as and when we need him. But where does that leave Murray Wallace? Because last season he was playing at centre, in at centre-back. So, you know, and so with Scott Malone signing, just wonder where that leaves him.
I think versatility is something Rowett said a lot. I think he even said something during the week where he spoke to probably knew that then again, but I think he said the flexibility of key players filling in other positions on the pitch. I think with Murray Wallace anyway, he could play left wing back as well as centre half, and I know he played there a few times, if not last season, the season before that. Obviously Malone made that left wing back position his own last season, but I think Wallace is a dependable deputy in any position on the pitch doing this, but I think he would offer that kind of stability that, you know, could be an option that can play across a couple positions. And yeah, I think he still have his game time definitely in a season that demands a lot. But I do agree with you. It would be interesting. I think if you think of it now, then it'd be Cooper, Hutchinson, Ballard, Pierce and Wallace. And that's five central defenders, which supports playing, I think, about five. I really do think we're going to get the 5-2-3 next season. I'm not disappointed about it, though, because it served us well towards the end of last season. It's just I hope he gets it right and gets that number nine that's going to score the goals for it.
Definitely.
Mickey, you're on mute, mate.
No. Normally I press space, but I went onto another screen, so it didn't work. So, no, I think you're right. But, I mean, don't forget, Murray Wallace is 28 now. So, you know, he's not getting any younger. And looking at, you know, trying to find replacements now, so in a year or two, we've got the replacement.
He thinks prime 28. I worry about him when he's 32, 33, when he's Alex Pierce's age. That's when we worry about him.
Fucking don't have him nowhere near Pierce's age. Yeah. But then again, knowing the club, mate, you still get a deal going there. So, Kai, have you heard any other transfer murmurs?
No. It's been quite quiet. I've been keeping up with your thread on your page. It's been quite handy. Just all the latest news in one. But yeah, there was a rumour about an unnamed striker, wasn't there, the other week, last week. I saw an article on that. So wonder who that will be. There was a interesting earlier. I saw that Paul Mullin left Cambridge United, and I remember seeing in February whatever that Paul Mullin was. We were looking at Paul Mullin. There was a couple of articles on that. So I just wonder whether maybe we're going after him. Not, you know, so I wonder whether that is one. But you know, with players like that, you just wonder whether they can make the step up if he does sign for us. I think we need to probably sign someone who's a bit more proven. But then again, that costs money. So it's whether we can afford that, isn't it?
Well, don't forget Morrison, Gregory, they come from lower league and fucking hit the ground running. So, yeah, I mean, there's also that other guy from Lincoln who's being returned, but possibly he's going to another club there. But there are a few options. But again, it's a gamble. Are they going to be able to take and are they going? Because let's be honest, the Championship is a lot more competitive than what it was, you know, when Gregory and Morrison joined it a couple of years ago.
I'd argue Championship's not the same, mate. Honestly, I think this is where we've got... This is why I'm so... If we lose Wallace, this is like Jed Wallace. Back to him, but just a little bit. I think the league is not as competitive as it was when Villa were in this division a few years ago. You know, Villa, Norwich, not in this league anymore. Okay, you've got West Brom, you've got Bournemouth, and you've got Fulham. But aside from them three, Swansea somehow managed to get in the playoffs last season, and they looked good at times against us. They beat us 3-1 or 3-0, didn't they, towards the end of the season? But we were on the beach by then. I don't know. I really do think, like, it's just a couple of players. We're not far away from it. Windass looks a good option if we was to get him. I think he's the Mahoney replacement, like I said last week. I think Mahoney goes if we get Windass. I think Bovarsson goes. And then we're going to sign a striker, but don't know who the striker's going to be.
No, that's scary.
It's scary.
there's a lot of stuff coming in on Twitter with the fees. Laura Wall, more playing for us than selling him. Steve Selby again has got involved a fair bit more than what Windass is, you know. And again, you know, there's rumour that Sheffield want fucking 5 million for him, which I think is not worth more than maybe 1.2, 1.4 maybe at a push. Sean Ward has come up with, to us, with what he offers to the team is invaluable. Unfortunately, his age 27 and with only 1 year left on his contract, I'd say he's worth around 3 to 3.5 million if we are lucky. If he'd had 2 or 3 years left, then we'd be looking at 10 million plus. Sean Ward again said, but seeing a Sheffield Wednesday put 5 million price on Windass, then we should be looking for at least 5 million plus. Bradders 8 on Twitter again, current market, 5 million tops, has only a year left. But if John Windass is apparently not being sold for anything less than 5 million, then we can demand 10 million with a laughing face. And Dean Grace, not what a lot of Wolf fans are touting, he is worth far more to us than maybe the 3 million if we're lucky to get it. COVID will stop most clubs spending anything this year, which again, I think I agree with him on that one. I think, look, if we can keep him, then we need to do whatever we need to do to keep him, because I think in the current setup with the club at the moment and the way he plays, then I think if we're going to stand any chance of a push, this season could be that season. And I think we need Jed to be able to do that. Do you agree, gents, or disagree? Am I talking bollocks?
No, I agree. 100% what we've all been saying, to be honest. I think for half hour for part one, mate, we've done well here, but there's not much else to talk about apart from the fact that we might lose our best player. So I suppose it's a worthwhile conversation.
Fixtures come out last week. So we've got QPR away, Portsmouth at home, Blackburn, Fulham, Cardiff, Blackpool for the first month. Any concerns in that first six games?
Nice London derby to go to for the first game if we're allowed to go.
The only thing that pissed me off with there is that Fulham, because of the football policing unit's involvement, is that they've put Fulham on a Tuesday night, so we can't run a boat. Because they really don't like us running a boat to fucking Fulham, wankers. And I suppose that's it. Cardiff away. We've got some good teams, London, you know, the London derbies and some good teams coming up. Cardiff is always a good away day. Portsmouth coming up, if they could bring away fans, is always a good game. They're a lively bunch, very similar. QPR, again, a nice lively London derby over there. I suppose realistically, we get into it. September again, not really many. West Brom, Swansea, Coventry, Nottingham Forest and Bristol City. October. Don't really have October. I suppose we've got Luton to a degree. Could be an interesting one. But realistically, there isn't really anywhere I think we're going to be fucking worrying that. I think they're all quite nice. Hopefully by January we can have an away day, because then we've got Blackpool away.
In the seaside. We'll jump in there, -2 degrees, yeah?
Yeah, but it's still a good away day, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
If Bob Farson's still there, but it's still here by then, I'll ski dip in the sea.
Oh. So let me just reiterate correct. That. So if Bod Varson is still here by the time we play Blackpool, you will go for a dip in Blackpool C.
Potentially.
No.
If we can go, and
maybe we do it for charity, that you will go for a swim in the sea. I can't swim, so I can't go in the sea. I can go paddle, but I can't swim, so I'm not going to make myself a stupid fucking bet like that.
We'll let the viewers decide. How about that?
All right, see if they have interest. All right. If you want Omar to go for a swim, then just hashtag us Omar swim or Omar drown. Okay. So if you want him to go for a swim, Omar swim. If you don't want him to go, just say Omar pub. So Omar pub if you don't want him to go for a swim, and Omar swim if you do want him. And that's only if Budvarson is still here on Saturday, January the 22nd of 2022. then that's it. So
surely he's gone by then.
I think that's quite good. So Omar Pub or Omar Swim?
I think Omar Pub and doing Jaegers is a much better option, but we'll see. I've said it now.
I think if we do Blackpool away, we go to a Weatherspoons and then we'll post the table number and then you can buy Omar some.
On the subject of Seaside, I know you decided to try and read the fixture list out, but a lot of people have probably seen them already. But let's talk about the last game of the season. Seaside visits to Bournemouth, hopefully a bit warmer than what Blackpool would be in January. And Millwall celebrating promotion from the Championship on the last day of the season in the Seaside, no?
I think that's it. I mean, if we go to Mr. Optimism at the bottom, how are we going to do this season then?
So the other week I predicted playoffs, didn't I? So I'm sticking by it. I'm saying England are winning the tournament and I'm saying in Millwall making the playoffs. So, you know, I've gone all out for it. But
so if Millwall don't reach the playoffs, when we go Bournemouth away, hopefully, will you be going for a swim in Bournemouth, see?
I'll do that. To be fair, it'd be quite nice. So
there we go. We see the trouble is I can't do the same hashtag for you because you're not old enough to drink. So it's like it'll be Kai bag of chips or Kai swim.
No, by then I will be able to drink.
Oh, there you go.
Because I'm 18 in October, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, well, there we go then. So we can go Kai pub or Kai swim. So two hashtags coming up through the season. Make sure you're monitoring them. I think we've pretty much done part one to death now. We've done it all. Right, that's it. End of part one. We'll be back after this with part two, where we talk England versus Germany, the Euros, and everything to do with all of the Euros. So, yeah, join us after this.
England hosts Germany at Wembley in the Euro 2020 round of 16. Having started a major international tournament with three clean sheets for the first time since 1966. Coincidentally, that was the last time we beat Germany in a knockout match. Since then, we've had three defeats, two coming from the dreaded penalty shootouts. Encouragingly, the three Lions have not lost in nine, not conceded in five, and the first to score in eight out of the nine. Germany are without a clean sheet in six games, even with their five at the back system, struggled versus France, dominated versus Portugal, and needed an 84th minute equaliser versus Hungary to progress. Head to head, the last time we faced them was in the World Cup 10 years ago, and they beat us 4-1. But we were not given a goal that was clearly over the line, and that could have made it 2-2. So you know what? It's time for revenge. England versus Germany at Wembley in the Euros. It does not get bigger than this.
Welcome back. This is part two. This is where we start with Mr. Smug Fucker Omar, who is going to Wembley tomorrow with his ticket to watch an almighty game of England versus Germany, and hopefully we will get a victory. So coming in, Omar, predictions, how are you feeling? And just how was it that you got a ticket, you jammy fucker?
Prediction is I won't make it to the game after copious amounts of alcohol. No, I'm joking. Of course I'll be there. I can't wait. Obviously missing out on the first three games in the groups. I was gutted, but managed to get a ticket for the last 16. Yeah, I feel fortunate. I can't wait. I'm in the lower tier as well. It's a bit potluck with the categories, how it works. But I've got a category three ticket, which obviously Wembley is quite standard and behind the goal. We'll hopefully just see us do the business. My gut feeling for the game, I really think it's going to go penalties again. I've just been thinking it all week. I just think from what I've seen of the games from England so far and Germany, I do think we'll suit playing against the Germans. Like the Germans like to come out and attack. A few games I saw them, I think against Hungary, they were a bit devastating, and Portugal. Portugal in the second game, and Hungary to an extent. They obviously scored a couple of goals as well in the third game. But I think, you know, if anything, on the counter-attack, I think we'll look lively. I think, you know, it will be a team that looks to break us down on the counter-attack as well, with the likes of Gnabry, Havertz, Werner. But I'm going to go 1-1 and it goes penalties. And you know what? We're going to win it on penalties. We're going to beat them. It's going to be revenge for 96. We're going to win it. And then Sweden or Ukraine in the round after that. We'll beat Sweden or Ukraine in Rome. Go back to Wembley for the semi-final next Wednesday. Win the semi-final against probably Denmark, maybe. And then the final against France, we win it. Simple. It's coming home.
Talking about France, France is now 1-0.
2-1 now.
Oh, it's 2-1 now.
Yeah, Switzerland missed the penalty.
There you go.
Dearing me. So, Kai, you looking forward to England versus Germany?
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait. I'm going to go for a 2-0 England win. I feel like I just feel like the hype and the you know, there's been a little bit of negativity around the game, hasn't there, due to the fact that, you know, they're the old enemies and stuff. So, but I think we're going to do this quite comfortably. I think the players are going to react to the crowd. I think Kane's going to score double.
So do I. I think Kane's going to score two, and I think we're going to win 2-1. I don't think we're going to penalties, because I really don't think my ticker can take that again.
Do you know the whole when we were at Wembley against Bradford, and then they showed the heart rate of the Mill fan over 200 beats per minute? If there's a England fan equivalent, I'm pretty sure it'd be something very similar during the penalty shootout, if not more, if there was someone that's willing to step up to do that. But yeah, I mean, I'm nervous now talking about the game. I've been nervous the last few days. Just as much buzzing just for the day of it, going to Wembley. I can't wait. I really can't. Knockout football against the Germans. Come on, that's surely what you want at Wembley.
There's been a lot of upsets at the minute. I mean, Wales got spanked by Denmark 4-0. Mm-hmm. You've got Italy, obviously, looking as if they're in a bit of trouble. And then extra time, they managed to recoup and they come back 2-1. Netherlands or you know, the famous Orange Boys are gone 2-0 to Czech Republic. Belgium knocked Portugal out. Okay, Spain won today, but, you know, obvious, but it was still a high scoring. At the moment, France 2-1. There's some teams out, mate.
Like I said, this will age well when we lose tomorrow.
And
this will age well.
It could fucking be on.
No, like I said, it will age well when we lose tomorrow. I think you lagged out just for a second there, Mickey, so I don't know if we lost you. But I just think we're going to do it. We're going to do it. It's coming home.
I think it's coming home. It has to, doesn't it? We've had too many years of fucking hatred. So, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, get through to Germany. I mean, who are we going to get in the next round after them?
Sweden or Ukraine.
Yeah.
And which one would you rather?
I'll take either. Ukraine.
Yeah.
Don't mind. We'll take either at Wembley.
I don't mind.
Not at Wembley, in Rome, sorry. The only downside is we're not allowed fans.
I'd like Sweden. Yeah, only because, do you remember the chance at France? Was it 2000? Where was it? Not 2006.
Germany. When 2006.
With the
your
Swedish.
Shit, but your bird.
Women of it.
Yeah. That's the only thing I remember from that. And Joe Cole's volley that day as well. Unreal goal. I think we draw that game 2-2, I'm going to say. Maybe we did. Irene got injured. I remember that as well. There you go. Weird memories that I remember from 2006 World Cup. But, mate, it's happening.
I think it's proper game on.
There'll be some tasty chants tomorrow as well.
Absolutely, which, you know, we will come to in a bit. But, yeah, I mean, Kai, you got anything else you want to speak about the Euros?
It'll be interesting to see whether Mount or Chilwell are back in the team tomorrow. I saw a few articles today that said Mount is looking likely that he'll be in it. But I just feel like you can't drop Grealish after the way he played against Czech Republic. I think he played really well. So, you know, dropping Grealish would be a bit of a blow, but see what happens.
I never used to like Grealish, right?
I always
thought he was a bit of a cock. But yeah. I've watched a couple of interviews with him and I've seen a couple of bits from other people have done with him. And actually, I quite like the fella, to be fair. I like his whole attitude of he just wants to play football. That's all he's interested in. It's all he wants. He's got that traditional football look about him, isn't he? Like the massive thighs, that traditional, you know, not necessarily the pretty boy. He just looks like a fucking airy-ass footballer. Do you know what I mean? And I just listening to him talk about, you know, Euro 96 and this, that, and you just think Gaza, all of this sort of chat, you just think, you know what, I'm actually starting to quite like the fella, to be fair. And also, don't forget, I mean, he took a slap off a off a player. He took a slap off that fan that day, didn't he? And just carried on.
Birmingham. Yeah. I mean, I think I had this conversation the other day with someone. I can't remember. It was probably someone in the pub when I was out like, the weekend. But they said to me, like, if you look at the 2006 team, you can list the iconic players. You're talking Gerrard, Lampard, Beckham, Scholes, Rooney, Owen, Campbell, Terry. Like, the list goes on. Ferdinand, you know, Ashley Cole. But one thing you've got to say about this team, whilst you wouldn't want to have necessarily all of them on the back of a shirt like that team then, the unity and also like the general things they have in common with each other, and this is probably the one thing Southgate's done so well, and this is going to age well when we get battered tomorrow, don't get me wrong, but the players are all on the same level page and they all want to be there together. And I said it last week as well, but there's just a general togetherness there that, you know, they're going to go to the trenches and they're going to fight for each other as well. So like, for me, you know, I don't think anyone realised that. But I think they're there together. Like, they're honestly, there is like a strong sense of unity there, I think. And that goes for Grealish as well. Like, it's just down to earth, honest. Like, there's a song by The Manor that is a group that I loved a bit. It's like, right. And it's a Jack Grealish song. And because Grealish are going to bring it home for us. And I really think that. I think Grealish will play tomorrow. I know you said Mount probably comes back in as well. But I think Grealish and Mount probably both play tomorrow. Got this feeling. And I think maybe Foden might miss out. And then Sterling and Kane up front. But we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
Grealish says that's something about him that could change a game.
That's it.
You know, even that young lad who played Saka.
Yeah, he was calling it last game.
He got told just run at him. Do what you need to do. Do your football, and that's it. And all the players need to do is go out there tomorrow, right? Or you know. Yeah, we recorded on a Monday. We go out on a Wednesday. You know, we tried lying about it, but it's fact. It is what it is. Especially this week, it is what it is. So, but if the players go out and just enjoy their football, fuck the pressure. Don't worry about what's going on. Win, lose, or draw, it don't matter. Just go out there and play your football and take it to the Germans. Do you know what? I think the fans will be much more appreciative if we have a hard battle and lose, rather than just fucking not turn up like we did against, who was it? Not Croatia. Scotland as well. But yeah, if we just turn up, do fuck all. And Germany, if we do that, Germany will fucking be all over us like a fucking rash. And Germany's not had a, you know, they've not really been on fire. Spain's been scoring some fucking goals, but Germany's not really been on fire, have they? So we'll see. But look, I think that's it. If you boys ain't got nothing else to talk about the Euros, hopefully Omar will be giving you some live updates on Twitter, which I doubt because don't really want to see him when he's.
You don't get single at Wembley anyway, and also I'm gonna be so engulfed into this game. This is it. It's happening.
That's it. So. That's it then. End of part two. We've done the Euros. It's either going to be fuck me, we're through, or fuck me, we were shit. Anyway, end of part two. Bear with us. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to part three. This is the final part of this week's podcast, and it's Tuesday night. England has just beaten Germany 2-0 in Euro 2020. The final message is from Omar. Over to you, fella.
Return of the drag queen voice of feeling like shit, but here I am on me cod on my way home from an absolute day of it as England win 2-0 against the Germans. Get in there. Fucking get in there. I mean, the game itself, where do I even sum that up? I think, you know what, today goes down as one of my fondest, most significant days of football and being at the football and following my country. That's unreal. Every bit of it was unreal today. Fair play to Sterling, scoring his third goal of the tournament. Fair play to Kane getting off and running 2-0. Fair play to Southgate as well, you know. I mean, it wasn't a game for the purists up until probably about the hour mark. Introducing Grealish at the right time made a big difference. And what can I say? We won 2-0 against the Germans. It feels significant. Like, I feel like in 30 years' time, I'll look back on this day and be like proud to be there, proud of the country. And I do hope we can turn around and continue it on Saturday against either Sweden or Ukraine. At this point of time, I don't actually know which one we'll have. It's 1-1 at the moment, but I'll take either of them. I just hope the whirlwind of today doesn't get in front of them ahead of the weekend. And I hope that we can continue this sort of form. And yeah, who knows where we'll end up. But nonetheless, fantastic day. And fair play to Declan Rice and Phillips in the middle as well. I thought Rice in particular was superb today. All the players done a good job. And we wanted it more than the Germans, what can I say? Fair play to Pickford in goal as well. Drunken ISIS isn't for me, but all I will say is...
Stop.